then he takes them down the hill to the Kidron Valley and up a little ways to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, not only will I pray for you, but I need you to pray with me. And so he asks his disciples to stay awake, but they're so tired by this time. They're so weary by the conflicting news of joy and of sorrow that they fall asleep. They just can't stay awake. And Jesus, we're told, is in so much passion that he sweats blood. He knows what's coming. He asks God to deliver him from this hour. But not my will, but yours, God, be done. And then it's interrupted. It's interrupted by a chain gang from the synagogue that comes in and arrests him and takes him away. And throughout the night, on Maundy Thursday, he is berated, he's shifted around, he's put before illegal courts. And then eventually, Friday morning, the courts determine that he's to be crucified. As we celebrate tonight, try to imagine being his disciples of that era. Try to imagine what it will mean to us as we once again participate in the Last Supper with our Lord.
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also.
Join me in the call to worship. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another.
Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another.
Tonight we remember that night and those words.
Symbols of His imminent death.
O God, let this service of remembrance sober us of any illusions we may have about our own courage and our own faithfulness.
Help us to realize our entire dependence on His courage, His faithfulness, His forgiveness.
With contrite hearts, let us hail the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Through whose sacrifice for us, we are pardoned and healed. Amen.
Amen. Scripture today is a Song of David, Psalm 24.
Psalm
124, I'm sorry. Thank you. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept us away. The raging water would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Wasn't it nice to have the choir gathered around the communion table? You know, I've known a couple of cantors who have sung the Passover Seder. And I just kind of wonder if Jesus and his disciples sang a little bit around the table. I remember some good times where, you know, we break into camp songs or even old rock songs. God forgive me. But it's a good memory. It's good to be together. It's good to gather at a table. It's our hope that you'll be gathering with loved ones to celebrate the resurrection. But tonight we have mixed emotions. You know, sometimes churches have strange things happen. I've heard this story happening before. It has not happened at any church that I've served, or at least so I think. But a man came into a service. He obviously was kind of depressed and was struggling. You could see it. He kind of mumbled to himself. But then, during the service, as the choir sang and the people lifted up their voices and sang together of God, as he listened to the prayers, a change came over him. And at one point, he just started humming out loud with the choir. People looked at him a little strange. He wasn't necessarily on key. And then later, as the preacher was preaching, he sat up and said, "Amen!" one time, and everybody was shocked. One little lady just about had a heart attack. But he continued on. He said, "Praise Jesus!" Finally, as he was murmuring under his breath while the pastor was praying, a good, faithful usher went up to him and said, Sir, you'll have to be quiet. You're disturbing the people around you." And the man looked up, a completely different man than who had walked in. He was smiling. And he said, "But I've got religion." "Well, you didn't get it here," the usher said, "so hush up." Unfortunately, that's what too many people think about people in church. They think those people are the good people. They're the moral people. You have to be good to go to church. I've had more people say to me, "I couldn't go to church." Usually it's at a gym or somewhere else when they hear I'm a preacher and we get into a discussion. And they say, I'm just not like that. And I ask a question usually. What do you mean you're not like that? What is that like? Oh, those are good people. They're upright people. They're family people. They're pillars of the community. They're good people. But I'm not a church guy. I'm not a church gal. The problem is, we all know that church is really a place for sinners, isn't it? Every one of us put on a nice face and we try to be good. We do, because our Lord was good. But we're not always good. Church isn't a country club. It's not a place to show off your goodness. It's a place to love and be loved. That's what tonight was about. In Luke's gospel, Jesus longed to share a meal with those he loved. Who do you long to share a meal with? Maybe just as you imagine that, maybe it'll stimulate you to give somebody a call. Say, I just want to go out with you. I want to have a meal. Or I want to have you over at my house. What would you like? What could I cook for you? Wouldn't it be fun? You see, the truth is, we understand that Paul says he is the chief among the sinners when we read the Bible. But we think too often we're supposed to be good. And yet, the Psalms are filled with different expressions of emotion. When David writes in this psalm, he has a very particular way of phrasing things. He uses an extended conditional expression. If, then, if, then, if, then. But it's all about the difficulties of life. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then when our enemies attacked, they would have swallowed us up. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, and then we would have been swallowed by raging waters. And so he bursts into an appreciative moment. Baruch Adonai! Blessed is the Lord. For he did not allow us to fail. He did not allow us to be destroyed. Do you know that Israel sang this song when they marched up to the temple? Imagine the conflicting emotions. It's a Psalm of ascent, we're told. So, the Hebrew priest would be leading the way and all the people would be singing this song as a reminder that life's not always good, that we bring our stuff into church. Sometimes even the preacher's angry because he brings his stuff into the church. Sometimes we don't feel like being here. And sometimes, those are the moments of most experience. Because somehow, like that tattered man, the service takes hold of us. We're reminded that in our pain and our struggle, God is with us. Jesus wanted the disciples to always know that the turmoil would not overwhelm them. Oh, he didn't deliver them from turmoil, but it wouldn't overwhelm them. Do you know the word enemies in Hebrew is Adam? Adam, the general word for humankind. The enemies are us. We have met the enemy and he is in the mirror. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. That's what he's saying in this psalm. On this night, when Jesus so tenderly dealt with the people he loved, he knew he was going to be leaving. He knew he was not going to be around to have dinner with them. There were no more splash fights at the well. No more little teachable moments when they've messed up. And he hears gently, or they hear gently, how he reprimands them in love. No more is he going to be there to say, "What do you do now, Jesus? I don't get it." So he promises that night, "I'm sending you a comforter. When I leave you, I will send you the Holy Spirit, who will always be there in our worst moments and in our best moments." And so we need to think about what it means to be Jesus' disciple and come to this table. Are we a people of hope? Are we a people that looks good on the outside, but sometimes are a little too busy to deal with the people that are difficult on the inside? Or are we willing to go out of our way to share the same kind of love our Lord loved? You know, churches that are hopeful churches are churches that are come-as-you-are churches. You know, sometimes I get a little odd at people when they bring Starbucks coffee into the worship service, because when I grew up, you didn't do that in church. But the truth is, who cares? They're here. And not only that, they're engaging in the songs, the prayers. Is this a place where you can be yourself, holding hands with the one you love? Oh, we don't do that in church. I've heard all those things. I felt some of those things. And yet, we need to let our biases get out of God's way. Church isn't for perfect people. Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Psalms 103, it says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." Thank goodness! Second, churches of hope tend to be churches that point to Christ. The Psalms of Hallel, or of celebration, were always filled with reminders. This is who God is. This is what He did. This is who He is to you. This is how He loves you. So that over and over again, we recite how good God is. It leads us to the Creator who loved us enough to send His only begotten Son. First Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, Himself human, who gave Himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time." We're celebrating the right time. Or in 1 John, John reminds his church, because they had the same problems. "My little children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin..." Listen, folks, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The church's role is never to lay on to people a bunch of to-do lists, although as your pastor, so often I feel like we've all got to-do lists to do. We got to get out there. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do so much. But it's not about that. It's about being a place where we let somebody know of the travails that we bring in, like that man did. And we listen while somebody else tells us theirs. And we feel the pain they feel. And we express the pain we feel. And we remember, but I wasn't overwhelmed. I could have been caught in the snare, but I wasn't. God, you took me right out of that situation. And it could have been really bad. And not only did you take me out of it, but it says you broke the trap they were setting for me. Literally, it says the noose of the bird was broken. The instrument with which your downfall was predicted was taken away. In Luke, the Lord's Supper is a place where fearful people gather. The things that Jesus was saying that night were not altogether wonderful things for their ears to hear. I'm leaving you. What? No. We're just getting used to you. We like you around. You heal people around us. It's good. But I'm sending you to do this work. Heal the world. Be people of my kingdom. Be people who do what you've experienced. And the meal becomes the focus. It becomes the method of feeding us so that when we experience God, we feel a little lighter. We feel that there's someone with us in this turmoil. And we become that for each other because we're living into the kingdom. Where else can you offer the kind of love? Oh yeah, there are all kinds of fraternal organizations and great friend places and good places to hang out. But to come and say there is love here. You can come however you are, bad breath and all. And I'll listen. And let's together discover God. We know that the kingdom of God isn't a place for people who've got life all figured out. It's not a place to share our success stories or strategies for getting by, but rather to share with one another life. And so, the psalmist responds, Baruch Adonai Eloheinu, blessed be the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. As we come to this communion table today, we're going to take it individually, and I'm going to play a video. It's a haunting grunge band version of Psalm 124. And I just want to have you let that kind of float over you as you come forward to communion. And I want you to think about this. If God had not been with us, what would I be today? For the Hebrews, if God had not been with them, they would have been destroyed by natural disasters, by enemies, by the overwhelming turmoil of life. And so the response was, blessed be the Lord. Because the truth is that He is with us. As we prepare to come to this table, I'd invite you all to stand and turn in your hymnals to page number 92, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Let's prepare our hearts for communion and confess our sin together. Our Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took a basin of water and knelt before each of His disciples, determined to bathe their soiled feet. Some did not wish to submit to Jesus' cleansing touch, till they learned it was the only way to be one with their beloved Master. So too, we can now humble ourselves before the Lord in confession, that we may come clean and free from all shame and condemnation. Come, let us confess our sin together. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we do not want to struggle Your command to love You as You love. We turn away from acts of love that may cause us pain. We turn away from Your suffering, away from Your cross, and away from the cross You would have us bear. We even turn away from the peace You humbly offer us. Forgive us, help us open our arms and hearts to You, and then to another. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, amen. Let us continue to pray silently as we lift up our confessions. Amen. Hear now the assurance of pardon. Surely Christ Jesus has borne all our infirmities and carried all our diseases. Surely He was wounded for all our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the punishment that makes us whole, and by His bruises we are healed. Friends, believe the gospel. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. We are healed.
I grew up with this solemn picture of the Last Supper. I think it was when I was a counselor at camp that I saw a video of Jesus having Passover, but it was very different than the one I'd imagined. They all were reclining on couches, but they were feeding one another, and sometimes they would push the food a little bit too hard into their mouths and laugh hysterically. And sometimes they would spill the wine on the table. And I wonder what it was like that night. I really don't know. I do know that the Passover Seders I've been to are scripted pretty heavily. And each act is symbolic. But as I read it, this was even more of a meal to them than it was a ritual. For them, they bridged the gap between it being church time around the table and being a time of fellowship. We know because Jesus said, I just am so excited that I get to share this meal with you. So we do it so formally sometimes. And it has to be, because it's personal to come to Jesus, because Jesus made it personal with each person. He changed what was said to reflect an intimate relationship with each of His disciples. He said that this is for you, you, not y'all. But He called people by name. He knew their hearts. He knew what they needed deep down. I wonder if he knew that he needed to take a little horseradish off of John's plate because he was allergic to it. Or if he needed to add a little of that radish to James's plate because he loved him so much. I don't know. But tonight, we celebrate him doing this for the last time. He'd done it every year. It was part of his tradition. But this time, he changed things up. And as he changed them up, he made it very personal between him and the people he was sharing the meal with. And then he took it one step further. He said, I want you to do this all the time. I want you to remember each other. Have meals together. But also, when you remember the Passover, this is an event where God is passing over your sin and iniquity. My presence with you through this blood of mine and through this flesh of my body offered for you allows you to be free from the burdens that so weigh you down, from the challenges that are absolutely impossible for you to accomplish, for the days when you don't want to get out of bed. Remember, I'm with you. And though the storms may come, I'm walking through them with you. We're going to take communion. Our officers are going to be here, and they're going to offer you communion. If you can, call them by name. You won't be able to call everybody by name, but you might say your name right before it so they can personalize it. Wouldn't that be cool? Make it a little bit more intimate. But as they offer it to you, they are just representatives of the Christ whose death we celebrate tomorrow and whose resurrection allows us to know that we are God's. We are God's own people. And so on Easter, we'll say He has risen and we will respond, and so shall we. On Easter, we'll remind ourselves that because He went through this horrible day and night and came out the other side, so will we. You're going to be invited to come forward. You'll take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. And then as we're doing that, I know it says the video is going to be now, but we're going to do the video as you're coming forward. That was my mistake. And so you'll get to hear the lament of some voices that might trigger some things in your own lives.
Let's pray together the prayer of thanksgiving. It's written in your bulletin.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
On that night, when Jesus knew He was going to be betrayed, still celebrating and at supper, He participated in the Seder. And as He broke the bread, He changed the words and said, Baruch Adonai Eloheinu, blessed is the Lord God, King of the universe, who gives us the wheat of the field and the grape of the vine. And then He said, this is my body. It's offered for you. For you. Take and eat, and as you do so, come to me.
Same way after the supper, Jesus took the cup and He filled it. He said, this is the new covenant for you. It is sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so and remember me.
Wow. A new covenant. A new deal with God. Sealed in His blood. Friends, these are the gifts of God. They're given for the people of God, which means all of us. So all are welcome at this table. Come and let us dine together.
Let's do the call of communion.
Oh, yeah.
Together. But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. You are able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." Pray with me. Father God, on this night, this darkest of nights, when we come face to face with the ugliest part of our humanness, it is fitting to answer your call and meet you at your table. So we humbly come before you, painfully aware that we continually fail to live into what you would have us be. We ask your forgiveness, grateful beyond measure to live in your loving grace, your love and forgiveness freely given. Let us all say, Lamb of God, if you are not on our side, the flood will surely engulf us. The raging waters will sweep us away. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. We pray this as we pray your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals to 599. It's a Tezé song, Jesus Remember Me. It's a very simple phrase. And in a moment, we're going to watch as the cross is shrouded and singing this song, Jesus Remember Us. Because the disciples didn't get to spend time with him again until he was in his resurrection body. And he's promised to always be with us, but there were moments. So later on, maybe you'll go down to the art slam down here, where there is an art show, but our youth who are getting ready to go to Polo tomorrow on their mission trip will be selling water bottles and explaining what they're going to be doing to the community, and they'll help people do a little flower craft as they come by. You might want to go down there and check that out. But if you feel a little chill, then let it remind you of Peter, who with much gusto and machismo decided to follow Jesus as he was arrested and taken away, only to be crowded around a little fire, waiting anxiously for what was happening, and then to be challenged that he knew Jesus three times. And three times this macho follower who had just shared an intimate meal said, I don't know him. Who are you talking about? No, not me. And instantly, Jesus' prediction of him came true in the crowing of a rooster. Or later on, tomorrow, as Jesus is on the cross, we're told that as he died, the earth quaked, that the sun was blotted out, that all nature groaned with the death of God. We're told that at that moment, the Holy of Holies curtain, which was by all measures about 2 inches thick, was torn from the top down. No longer needed, because Jesus has become our atonement. And then, on Sunday morning when we gather, we can celebrate that what we thought was over was only the taste of new life. Brothers and sisters, go. Let your minds and imaginations fill with the thoughts of Jesus for the next 2 days. And what he means to you and what it would mean if he did not exist. Let us stand together with our hymnals turned to page 599 and join our voices in singing Jesus, Remember Me. Thank you.
Amen.